I mean, this memory card needs to be replaced.
Memories.
Don't live like people do. Just live like people. What song is that?
Yeah, that song.
The memories. Yo, that shit slaps.
It's about memory cards, actually.
Oh. Ahead of its time, then, it was.
It's actually about breasts. Memories.
Look, it's an important important message. Mm. You know, have yourself checked out.
The message is very important.
If you have a partner or boyfriend or whatever.
Check your partner's memories.
That's right. Do the two finger, run it down. Oh, shit. No, I need to look at that that diagram again.
Yeah, the Venn diagram.
Yeah. But anyway, we digress. We are also recording Jody.
Whoa!
That's our intro.
Hello everyone and welcome to Bioscope Brasa. This is the show where two Brasa talk movie news, reviews, shorts and some cack in between. My name is Ross.
I am Jody.
That was a good one.
I know, it was deep.
Deep and
deep.
Thorough and velvety and luscious. Girthy. So, second episode back.
Nice.
And we're recording this immediately after the first. No.
don't reveal things.
God, gee whiz. How are you, Jody? Do you have a good week?
I'm good. I like that we're wearing matching hoodlums. That is what hoodies is the abbreviation of, right?
Yeah. That's why they're so closely associated with crime. Okay. Hoodies are short for hoodlums.
Yeah.
Okay.
Got matching hoodlums.
That's true. Matching hoodlums. Although you got this, you like the front zip?
I like a good zip.
I don't. You see, I can't do the zip.
Yeah, it's, you don't have the coordination for
I
it.
I don't. I'm weak in my left elbow.
Yeah.
Everything is full. Just fucked up from there. Anything involving my left elbow.
Yeah, it's repetitive strain.
It is. But
that's actually, no, that's the wrist and the fingers that got that one.
No, very good in the wrist, I must say. Strong. It's the elbow that, you know, it's the thing that's moving the wrist. Mm. That's where it all fucks out. It's an old badminton injury.
Badminton's rough.
Yeah.
It's known.
Very
it's
violent
known
sport.
It's known for its toll on the body.
It's a lot of ducking and jiving.
Where do those feather things come from on the back
shuttlecock.
Is that what it's
That's
called?
What it's called, yeah, shuttlecock.
I thought, wasn't shuttlecock that guy that went into space from
no,
South
no,
Africa?
No, no, no. Shuttle Mark. That was his name.
I'm sure his first name was Mark.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, Mark Shuttlecock.
Are you sure it wasn't Cock Shuttle Mark? who knows? And who cares? He's rich.
True.
He's rich. Yeah. So, without further ado, let's get into the news.
Our wear, news and shorts.
What are we starting with?
Yo, options.
Options.
We know where we're ending. We just don't know where we're beginning.
That is true. That's life, isn't it?
It's life.
We know where we're ending. Dead. Speaking of death, Richard Donner.
Man.
I'm sorry. Let's start on a downer and then work our way.
Yeah, because we normally end with like
downers. Yeah, yeah. Richard Donner, man, legend.
Legend. For those who don't know, he was the director of the original Superman. He was the director of all the Lethal Weapon movies.
Oof, love
director
the Lethal Weapon.
Goonies.
Abby hates the Goonies.
Why?
Because she said they shout too much.
It's got the Corys.
She said they keep shouting. The light is to shout over each other.
They got the Corys.
And I get it. They really do shout over each other all the time.
But it's Lighties going after pirate treasure. What do you expect?
Yeah, that's true. Everyone's very excited.
What do you expect?
I'm sure all of them have ADHD as well.
So, we mentioned Richard Donner on an episode a while back because Lethal Weapon 5.
He was coming back for it.
He was going to come back for that in his 90s. And unfortunately, he's not.
Was this COVID related?
Yeah, it was complications relating to COVID.
Son of a bitch. Another one bites the dust.
They took him away from us.
Yeah, legend. We're going to definitely do a movie cock talk on Richard Donner's
film. There are so many options for movies that you can watch for that, but I'm super excited for it.
Oh, we just do a Lethal Weapon off.
We could just do Lethal Weapon.
I love Lethal Weapon.
Four movies.
Poor Mel Gibson. Mel Gibson needs a Cage on his arms. He needs the same thing.
He needs a
but it's just like
Gibson on his arms.
Cage wasn't racist. He just went into B territory.
Yeah. But Mel Gibson somehow, like, he still makes it onto like panel discussions and things.
No, he's still there. He's got enough. I think he's got enough friends in Hollywood to kind of put him in stuff. Mm-hmm. But he's not that.
He's not where he was in like the 90s. You know?
He just needs to be nicer to Jewish people, I think.
That's a start.
And black people.
Yeah. That's a start.
Anyway, R.I.P. Richard Donner.
Maybe we can go from Donner to another old man, Indiana Jones 5.
Yes, Indiana Jones 5.
Harrison Ford has broken his arm.
Yeah, he broke. But, fuck.
79-year-old.
This isn't the first time that he's broken a limb. He's broken his. I think he broke his leg on Star Wars.
Which one? The last Star Wars? The last one he was old.
Yeah. Let me just give it a googs. But yeah, he broke his arm.
Yeah, that's. They totally had to stop filming because he's the star of the movie. Broke his arm. They were at pains to tell us that he was okay. Because, I mean, if an incident involving a 79-year-old happens on set, people are going to panic.
He maybe needs to stop doing this physical thing because, Star Wars Episode 7, he broke his leg as well.
Nice. It's brittle bones.
Or coordination.
It's
like,
all of the above.
Yeah. What is this movie going to be like?
He's being de-aged for some of it, right? Oh, my goodness. So they're using some of that tech for this.
Bring back River Phoenix.
Bring back River Phoenix's young Indiana Jones.
Dig him up. No, don't dig him up.
R.I.P.
River Phoenix.
Antonio Banderas was cast in this film as well.
Well, he's got time to he can take his time now.
True.
Because they have to wait. How long does the arm take to heal?
6 weeks at least.
Unless they write it in like they did with Shia LaBeouf on Transformers.
Yeah.
Then they just write it. They put a cast on him and they write it in.
That's in the movie now. Oh, yeah. He needs it. They could, but also it's Indiana Jones. What if it's his whooping
hand? Also, it's Harrison Ford. He's a grumpy old man. He's not going to want to act while his arm is being.
No. He's like surly on a good day. Yeah. Can you imagine him in a cast?
It must be in his rider, which is like their agreement before they sign a contract that they must have these things.
Yeah.
He's probably got like unlimited weed. Mm-hmm.
To help with the pain.
Yeah, and then nobody like bothers him unless they have to.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I think that's definitely the rules of Harrison Ford. But yes, okay, fine. I am kind of excited for this film just because I know that they don't want another Crystal Skull.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're going to correct. I hope they don't overcorrect.
Yeah, let's hope they don't auto-correct.
Yeah.
And just you put know, the effort in those times.
I didn't want to say duck, okay? I wanted to say fuck.
There's another old man there.
There's a yellow old man. Why we keep talking about old men?
Because we're not ageist, that's why.
Okay, another old man who has also broken many bones. Jackie Chan.
Mm.
So he wants to join the Chinese Communist Party.
Yeah, he wants to become an active member and a politician.
I already thought he was part of the Chinese.
He was on the down low. Jackie was on the down low. I don't think he's ever been this public about his support for.
Yeah, this is the first. Well, we don't know. We don't know what he does in China.
True. But it's like out in mainstream.
But this is like the rule with. This is what I find interesting now because with those old school Chinese stars. All of them need to be in alignment with the Chinese government.
Oh, yeah.
So Jackie Chan, your Jet Li, your like all your big guys. Usually they don't say anything in any forum, but you know that they, you know,
they have to choose
the Chinese government.
Yeah.
But now you have these young people who are immigrating and making a name for themselves. Chloe Zhao, for instance, was just openly speaking out against the Chinese government. Because it's like they're catching on some bullshit.
They are, and they're being called out on it.
And now Jackie Chan's going to be part of that.
Yeah. Don't expect Rush Hour 4 anytime soon.
No, I'm expecting some good old-fashioned propaganda from Jackie Chan.
This was just weird.
It's a fucking odd story. But whatever, man. Do you? But he's like his fan base was like huge at the point where they word got out that he was married.
Is he?
Yeah, he was like secretly married. I think he's still married. And then so many women committed suicide.
What?
Yeah, you can Google it. Give it a gigs.
Go do that.
Yeah, like super fans, like just fucking ended it when it came out that he was married.
Sure. And what's if I just think
Asian fans are different, my bro.
Like One Direction and those. And yeah. What's
BTS? BTS, yeah.
I think they big. They not Jackie Chan.
They not Jackie Chan big, bro. Mm-hmm. Shit. Mark Wahlberg, our favorite.
Yeah, Marky Mark.
What are you talking about?
What do you mean?
He's transforming his body.
Gotta do it with us.
For Stu. What is Stu the name of the film?
Yeah. It's based on Father Stewart someone.
Father Stewart. Is this a Boston? Is it in Boston?
Probably a Boston preacher.
Oh, so does he attack an Asian man?
No.
Or with a 2x4?
Hashtag don't forget. This is a passion project of Mark Wahlberg's where... It's based on a true story of a preacher who used to be a boxer, a heavyweight boxer who then becomes a preacher. And what's amazing about this is that Mark Wahlberg had to gain something like 40 pounds in a few weeks in order to look the part for this role. And there were all those pictures going around on social media of like Mark Wahlberg, tubby Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
No longer Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch.
Yeah, I saw some pictures yesterday. He's got like a mustache and he's overweight.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks ridiculous.
He looks legit.
But like, it's a faith-based movie.
Yes, it is. It's a passion project of his.
Does he like God?
It's part of the cleaning up his act, the thing, man.
Oh, you know? Yeah. So let's tie it to one of the most destructive
despicable
things.
Acts in the world.
You know, Christianity. Yeah. Let's do that. Oh, yeah. We're going to get a lot of haters. But that's where I stand.
Shame. So
faith-based films are always weird. I always wanted to watch. I think I skipped through this movie. God's Not Dead. Have you ever heard of those movies?
Mm-mm.
So they're a series now because they're quite popular in the
States. Was it like the fire? Was it fire something with one of them?
There's no, like, you're talking cack now.
No, I'm being the one is about firemen, and there's another one about whatever. But it's like
so the first one was a professor and a student.
I've seen movies that start like
and
that.
Yes. Hercules is Kevin Sorbo.
Whoa,
he's in the movie. Yeah, because he's like full on right wing.
Nice
Christian right. Yeah. You know who's also was on Fox News the other day? I saw.
Zeno Warriors. Yes, I've heard that he's a
I did not know he was conservative.
Yeah, clean cut bastard that he is.
Man, that just hurt my heart because the Adventures of Lois and Clark.
That was my jam.
And then Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Loved it.
I couldn't believe it.
And now Dean Cain is all right winging it up and shit.
Yo, what the fuck? So him and Kevin Sorbo were on at the same time.
Two of our childhood heroes.
Who gives a fuck what they think? Yeah, but anyway.
Hercules and Superman.
So God's Not Dead is this faith-based shit, but it's like really terrible and they like gaslight and they it's like a whole thing. I wanted to watch it. I want to see. I'm going to download it and I'll see if you watch it.
Nice. MKT it.
Yo, do you think we should
no.
do you should like no. a new religious movie?
No.
Oh,
just
man.
No.
Faith Like Potatoes. Do you remember that
yeah,
one?
Yeah, with Angus Bucken.
He's actually not a good dude also.
No, Angus is not a great person.
Oh, we could talk all day about this
guy. People
gonna
at us, bro.
Fuck him. Look, all the best with Mark Wahlberg, but remember that he committed hate crimes and he's racist.
He was in prison for it.
Yep. Oh, Nicolas Cage is no longer attached to Joe Exotic.
Disappointed.
I am also
Nicolas Cage with that hair and that mustache.
But that accent, that character, that everything.
It was just
I'm never going to financially recover from this. Like that is a time in my life that I will never forget.
March 2020. Eh?
Fucking hell, man. Beginning of lockdown.
Yo, that was.
And that brought us all together.
That really was like, it was start of lockdown, but also the embracing of like really embracing of binge culture within lockdown. Like,
well, binge culture was a strong thing already, but
it was.
That, but we had no choice but to do it.
You know, it was like, what's everyone doing? We're watching.
Watching Tiger King.
Yeah. That was like, that was a world phenomenon at that time.
And he would have been great, I think.
Joe Exotic, if he wasn't the
Fucking Nicolas Cage. Joe Exotic is a terrible person. Listen, if you fucking watch Tiger King and you think that man is a hero of some kind, you missed the point.
Yeah.
No one in that, the only person that is a good person is that woman that lost her arm.
Yeah. Do you know what this makes me think of? My other pet peeve. You know how people are all putting up like they put memes up of the Joker? And it's like, no one understands my pain.
I'll
make them suffer one day. And I'm like, do you know who you are idolizing?
No, they
don't. And it's Joaquin Phoenix's Joker. Eh?
They don't get it. They don't get it. They like, don't do get you, the point of it.
Do
they
you
don't
know get the, what the point of that guy is?
Even Dennis, Wolf of Wall Street.
Yes.
If you come out idolizing Jordan Belfort, you've missed the point.
He's such a delusional douchebag. It like, is
it's a tale of woe.
Yes. Okay?
It's supposed to show you the bad side of greed. You're not supposed to idolize this man.
Exactly.
And so many people get it wrong.
Yeah. So whenever I see that like on the socials, I'm like, guys, no man.
No.
The movie was not made for you to idolize. That's not the character you should relate to.
No, not at all.
You shouldn't be relating to
everybody
to the
just
want to
be deep and hardcore.
Man.
You know?
Well, they're Joker memes.
God, kill yourself. Don't kill yourself. I'm joking.
No,
that's a joke. Horrible joke, Jody.
Yeah, we'll cut that out.
No, we won't. We leave the Christian thing in.
Is that our threshold?
That's our threshold. Black Widow 2. Your notes are trash. The Black Widow.
I don't know what I was going for.
Fucking hell, we're rusty as shit. Black Widow had the biggest opening of the pandemic at the time that it came out. Because the movie that we're going to talk about beat it. But anyway, and then after that, after the opening weekend, it had a 67% drop.
Yeah, the second worst drop of a Marvel film ever. So Black Widow, it's the first Marvel movie to be released after the pandemic has come out.
Yeah.
First movie. And it released simultaneously on Disney Plus Premium. What's it called?
Disney Plus.
No, Premium. But there's a...
Premium.
Yeah.
Disney Plus. Pro. Professional.
Yes.
Disney Plus Premium Professional.
Adobe. So it came out on that and at theaters at the same time. And the theaters are pissed about this.
Of course, the theaters. But the theaters were pissed from the start when the rise of streaming services pissed them off already.
Yeah, it has. But at least they always had that window where things were exclusively at theaters for at least like 3-4 weeks.
Disney don't give a fuck.
There's no more window now.
Disney don't care.
There's no window.
They put all that money straight into the pocket. They didn't have to pay a cut to nobody.
So, like the AMCs of the world and all those other theaters.
They didn't pay a cut.
They're fighting for their life.
Because this is kind of how it works, right? The studio gets the first weekend. Then, as the weeks go on,
the split is more skewed
towards the cinemas.
Yeah.
Obviously, if you got a 67% drop off in the second weekend, they get peanuts.
Yeah.
That cuck that's left over in the seat, that's what they get.
And the scary thing is that they've done some research now, and they are predicting that our markets for movies will most likely take another 3 or 4 years
to recover, to get
to their pre-pandemic levels.
Fuck, I don't think people are going to do it. It's the same thing as like telling people to come back to work.
Yeah. It's fine.
It's not going to happen. Fine. It's not going to happen.
Come back. It's fine. There's no risk.
You'd just be like a yellow resignation. Like, you know what? It's fine. I'm not ready to come back.
Yeah, shame, eh?
But yeah, sure, that sucks.
Theaters be pissed.
We'll see. Look, I hope the movies don't come out when they're scheduled to at least. And then at least we still have a show.
For the most part, for the most part, they're going to because the markets abroad, like in the UK, they have over 70% of their population is vaccinated. The US is getting there very quickly.
Well, in the red states, they're not.
Yeah. I don't know what's happening in China because that's the other massive market right
China,
now.
China, they vaccinated. They, at what, the last article that I read, they were vaccinating. They were vaccinating 20 million people a day.
20 million?
20 million.
If they did that in South Africa, we'd be done in 3 days.
My bro. That's what I read, and I was like, this can't be right.
I still checked it
to be like, how is that? But it's the Chinese government.
Yeah.
It's the efficiency of the Chinese government. But I don't know what vaccine they got, because they could have been had the booth one also.
Yeah,
that and makes, the variant also, it's a whole
thing. That reminds me of that scary article about what happened in India, where some doctors like opened up a fake vaccination
yes.
site and charged people for it, and they injected saline solution into them. Crazy.
Yo, people are...
Doctors, bro.
I can't even...
Doctors deal. Did that shit.
I would run for the hills after that. Fuck it. Let them give them to the lower costs. Let them mold their people.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I think that's it for the news, Jody.
That's it for the news.
Sec, it's time for a review.
We've got a triple B this week, bro. It's a basketball bicycle battle.
It's a triple bypass basketball bicycle battle burger.
Yo, we couldn't do anything else except for put the original Space Jam 1996.
Although, I've seen like reviews where people say you can't compare it.
Whatever.
We're going to do it. Fuck them. Because we're comparing the original Space Jam, like you said, to
Space Jam, A New Legacy.
Yeah, it came out the other day.
Yeah. And debuted at number one at the US theaters.
Yep, it really did. Pandemic number one.
Let's start off with 1996.
Ugh, what a time. What a time to be alive.
What a time. 25 years ago.
Holy shit, I feel old as hell.
Starring Michael Jordan. Michael A. Jordan.
Yeah, Michael A. Jordan.
Wayne Knight, he's Bill Murray, and Danny DeVito. Directed by Joe Pitka, who, when I checked up on him, he was like a music video director and TV advert director.
He's only did two movies in his whole life.
Yeah, you wouldn't have heard of the other.
No, I didn't even bother to give it a Google.
So this movie was made on a budget of $80 million and made $240 million at the box office. So big success, but I mean... Michael Jordan. So.
Well, success is relative, because we'll get into the numbers later. Mm.
After Michael Jordan's retirement, he is abducted by Bugs Bunny from the Looney Tunes group and is asked to play a match to defeat the Nerdlux, a criminal alien group led by Mr. Swackhammer. Swackhammer.
Mr. Swackhammer.
Yeah.
I didn't even know they were called the Nerdlux.
I didn't know that.
Do you know they have names? I'm going to tell you their names.
I don't know the names. You know what I do like? What I found out as one random fact for you. Ivan Reitman, who's the guy from Ghostbusters, the guy who directed Ghostbusters on shit.
Yeah, well, he's the producer on this film.
He's a producer on this film.
Apparently, he's the real director.
I would assume so, because he's like a comedy movie legend.
Yeah.
His daughter, Catherine Reitman, who currently is an actress and director as well, she's on Working Moms on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
She was one of the voices of the Nerdlux in this film. She must have been like
the
super
pop-squeaky one.
I think so, yeah.
Wow,
because she must have been like,
do you know
really
what?
Young,
now, there's this TikTok trend where they talk about nepotism in Hollywood. Mm. I don't know if I spoke to you about this.
No,
before.
But it's a thing.
It's a big thing.
Yeah,
you know how they tell you anyone can make it in Hollywood? That is not a thing.
No,
you can always track someone when someone is a rising star, you can always track their connection to somebody, a producer, an actor, a director, somebody.
Mm.
You track that bloodline or that connection, and everybody's connected. It's all favors.
Mm-hmm.
They just happen to be talented because that their parents bring them up
in some instances, not all of them.
Yeah, that Eastwood boy, the disappointment.
Scott
Eastwood, yeah.
Well, look at Nicolas Cage. He's Francis Ford Coppola's nephew.
Who's his father?
Nicolas Cage. Mm. I don't know, but Sofia Coppola is the daughter of Francis Ford Coppola.
Now I want to know who Nicolas Cage's father is.
I know who his pappy is.
Who is pappy?
I know who his pappy
is. Who is pappy be?
So... let's get into Space Jam
while I Google Nicolas Cage's father.
Important point of reference, no relation to Toe Jam.
August Coppola. I don't know him.
No, that's Francis's brother.
Yes, okay. No, I know it's his friend, but I mean August. That's a weird one. Anyway, what are you talking about, Toe Jam?
Toe Jam, that stuff that you get between your toes when you...
Oh, that was the planned sequel, wasn't it? Featuring a famous podiatrist.
Yeah, deep dive into their toes. So, This movie starts off and we go straight into like Little Mike, who is prepping for his life as a superstar. What did you think of Little Mike and the montage?
I don't know, man. I don't know. What is it? The montage was cool because I dig that song.
Yeah.
We'll get into the music.
Before that song, we just get that hit of R. Kelly.
Because they use it more than once.
Yes.
So if you don't know, this movie was the vehicle for R. Kelly. Smash It, I Believe I Can Fly.
Smash.
It was for the soundtrack.
Yeah.
So the movie starts and you get like that.
Was him playing basketball at midnight.
Yeah, that lighty can't act, man.
No, and he was in a lot of stuff in the 90s.
He was such everything. He was always the black kid in something.
And he didn't make it into like adult, like
yeah, but child
starring.
Very few child stars do.
True.
But yeah, that was lame. I don't think it went down like that.
No.
Because if you know a bit about Michael Jordan, you know that he wanted to play baseball.
His whole life.
Yeah, that was his main sport. Mm. He was just very, very athletic.
Yeah.
So he wanted to play baseball and then his life took a turn. I can't remember.
I reckon if for all of us who've watched the documentary.
Yeah.
I reckon that at some...
On Netflix. If you haven't seen it, you please watch it. What's it called again?
I can't remember now.
The Last Dance.
There we go. Mm. I reckon that coach dropping him from the college team when he was at North Carolina, he took that shit personally.
Yeah, he did.
He just became the best ever.
Yeah.
I did make a note to say that intro needs two warnings. Mm. One for flashing lights.
Yeah, yeah.
And one for subliminal messaging. I don't know what they were trying to tell me, but it stuck in my head.
Oh, they were trying to tell you to buy, like, what was all the sponsors? McDonald's, Wheaties, they were trying to buy all that shit.
Yeah, that sounds deep.
And then, we get into, like, Michael Jordan, and they tied it to what was actually happening in his life.
Yes.
Which was he was retiring from basketball, and he was going to start playing baseball for a minor league team or something.
And it's pretty hilarious when you, like, get that opening scene, not the opening, but his first baseball match at the show was.
Yeah,
and the guy's giving him all the pictures.
Because he's Michael Jordan.
He's like, thanks for signing this, Mike. And that it's a slider, slider outside.
Don't swing.
Because you kind of think that's what would have happened.
Yeah, I mean, it's Michael Jordan. I would do the same thing. But if you watch the documentary, you'll know that he wouldn't want any help.
No.
He went to work hard for it.
Yeah, he kicked your ass. And you
you wanted to take it personally.
Yeah. We introduced to Wayne Knight very early.
Yeah.
Comedic, the sweaty, slimy, curly head.
Jurassic Park,
Basic Instinct treasure that is Wayne Knight.
Yeah, Wayne Knight.
Seinfeld.
Amazing. it was almost not him, man. Eh?
For the assistant.
Yeah, they almost cast Michael J. Fox.
That would have been weird.
It would have been very weird because, I mean, just based on him, the director, Pitka.
Yeah.
He wanted Michael J. Fox for that role.
And they just couldn't get him?
They couldn't get him. And then also Jason Alexander and Chevy Chase.
Yeah.
But they turned it down.
Chevy Chase for obvious reasons.
Yeah, because he's a fucking asshole. but anyway, we can breeze through the real life part, right?
Yeah.
They play golf, him and Larry Bird and Bill Murray. Bill Murray's a highlight in this film. He's very funny.
He's just there also.
But he's a friend of the producer.
Well, then it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
They were still friends at that point. That's before Groundhog Day.
He has beef with a few people. Yeah,
yeah, but they made up before Ivan Reitman died.
That's what he does because he did it with Dungas also.
He beefs with them till just before they died.
Yeah, yeah. He's the guy from Ghostbusters, the one who starred in Ghostbusters.
Harold Ramis.
Yeah. Mm. He also did the same thing.
Yeah.
There's a pattern, eh?
There's a pattern.
Anyway, Michael Jordan is not the best actor.
Mm-mm.
Even he admitted it himself. Mm-mm. I will say this, though. When he is in a scene with actual people, he is better than when he's with the Looney Tunes.
And okay, give him his due because actual actors struggle with those types of scenes
as well. You acting against people covered in green fabric.
Or like, tennis balls or whatever.
It's tough. And
that's difficult.
It's tough.
And he's having to hold those scenes together.
I mean, they're getting paid millions and millions of dollars, but it's hard.
It's a hard million that you... So, you really feel that difference, though.
Yeah.
He's got about two or three facial expressions that he goes to for the Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
You know, that eyebrow that pops up and one or two others. But it's rough.
Yeah.
It really is rough.
So he gets taken down into the Looney Tunes. But before that happens, you get like a backstory as to why this is all happening. And then you meet Shackle. What's it?
Swackhammer. Mr. Swackhammer.
Yeah. The
Danny DeVito's.
Moron Mountain guy.
Yo, that place is like alliteration heaven, eh?
Yeah.
It's like Moron Mountain, Sludge Summit. Who on earth would want to go on those rides?
I don't know. Sludge Summit sounds okay, I guess.
It sounds like sludge.
But I mean, I don't like to get dirty.
Exactly. You know what sludge
is? I even used to hate them.
Sludge is dirt that's moving.
Yeah.
That's what sludge is.
I even used to hate them. That fucking monkey fall.
Yeah.
I mean, I liked it, but like the being wet.
It's pisswater.
It's kak, yeah.
It's pisswater. People go in there.
Put some chlorine in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that place is fucking weird. And then the rules, the plot of the movie is so...
It's tenuous, eh?
It's
tenuous.
None of it makes sense.
No.
Because it's like, it doesn't even take place in space.
No. So Danny DeVito, this Moron Mountain, the theme park.
Yeah.
It's not attractive to the audience anymore. No one wants to go there. The rides are unpopular.
Yeah.
And he's got these minions called the Nerdlux.
Yeah.
Who, as you said, I didn't know that was their names, but they're these
tiny
little
pipsqueaks. Yeah, that's their names. But they have names, all of them.
And they decide that they need to get attractions for the theme park. They need to get something to bring people back, which just happens to be the Looney Tunes.
Yep.
So they send the Nerdlux on a mission to Earth to go and steal the Looney Tunes to come back to Moron Mountain.
Yeah.
So that they can become theme park attractions.
Yeah.
I think that's a...
Yeah. So they go. And then they reach Looney Tune Land.
Yeah.
And they have weapons. So the Looney Tunes are scared.
Yes.
Even though...
They are taller, faster.
Yeah. And nothing really happened. You can't kill a Looney Tune.
No. It's impossible. And I love the whole conversation that's had that explains how they get to basketball.
Yeah.
Because the Looney Tunes are like plotting taller. What they should do. So
yeah,
like,
yeah.
We're taller. Yeah. We're faster.
Yeah.
Those guys can't jump.
Yeah.
We should play basketball.
And also...
Logical.
Why would... okay. The Nerdlux are dumb. Let's put it that way. Because then Bugs Bunny flouses them and whatever. And then they have to fucking get basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And they realize, they can't play basketball. So they first have to learn basketball.
Mm-hmm.
But then the Nerdlux steal the talent of NBA players.
With a magical basketball. Did you remember who those players were?
Yes.
No.
Just not the white guy.
No. I'm saying before, like when you thought about the movie before watching it, did you remember who they were?
No.
The only two I remembered was Muggsy Bogues and Patrick Ewing.
Not Muggsy Bogues, Muggsy Bogues.
Bogues.
You can't call
sorry,
him
and Charles Barkley.
Bogues.
Mr. Bogues, man. Charles Barkley as well. Sorry.
Yes.
But the others, I was
I haven't seen the movie in years.
I could not remember who the others were.
But I used to be a basketball fan.
Uh-huh.
I still kind of am. But I knew who everyone was. I didn't know the white guy.
Yeah.
Actually, the white guy, I'll tell you his name now. Sean Bradley.
I still don't know him.
So him and the Nerdlux that steal their talent don't score any points.
Okay. Oh, wow.
That fucking sucks, doesn't
that
it?
That does.
But Patrick Ewing, I was a huge fan of.
Yeah.
Fucking Charles Barkley, I was a huge fan of, which is also the name of Michael Jordan's dog. In
Charles, the bulldog.
Charles Barkley, yeah. And then Muggsy Bogues, I used to like just because he was short and playing against these fucking huge
players. To love the picture of him and what's that guy's name? The big guy from China, wasn't it, or something? Didn't they show images of the two of them next to each other?
Yao Ming.
Like, didn't they? There was once a picture of of Muggsy
Bogues. Yao Ming
Bogues
is like 3 meters tall.
Yes.
And Muggsy Bogues is like 1 meter tall.
Yeah.
But yeah, I knew, I couldn't remember them because I haven't seen the movie in a long time. But then it was like, oh, and they are also bad at acting.
Yes.
Everyone's bad except for Bill Murray.
So
Wayne. What's his name?
Wayne Knight.
Wayne Knight, yeah.
So where we're supposed to get humor there is that once they lose their ability, it's kind of like when Austin Powers' mojo is sucked out of him.
Yeah.
They just become idiotic also.
Yeah, they're dumb
and
as well.
They just like, I don't know what to do. They become Marky Mark.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do.
Yeah, there's this whole montage where they're like seeing doctors and shit.
Everyone. And then the psychic actually knows what happened.
Yeah.
The psychic knows exactly.
That was funny. The psychic tells them exactly what happened and they didn't believe it.
No.
But that's cock funny. Mm-hmm. The Looney Tunes, it's just violence, eh?
Yeah, it's pure violence. And then they wonder why we were so messed up with the kids.
Like, I was waiting for, like, I expected there to be more jokes. Mm. But it's just a lot of slapstick violence.
Yeah, a lot of shooting, a lot of bombs.
Is that what it was?
A lot of running into things. Yeah, pretty much. It was a very abusive thing. Do you remember, like, the Looney Tunes used to be everywhere on TV.
Yeah, they were.
And we like, keep saying tunes, it's tunes, actually.
Looney Tunes, they spell it T-U-N-S.
Yeah.
Because of the music. It started off with music and shit. I think that's why.
Yeah, I guess so.
Looney Tunes. Well, it was super racist back in the day.
Oh, yeah. The
their first character, there's actually an Easter egg where their first, I think the first character is called like Bosco or something.
Yeah.
And it's just a blackface little.
With a huge lump.
Yeah, and there's a picture of it, a picture of the character in the back or something. I don't know why you would include that.
Yeah, it was problematic.
Even in the 90s.
That was problematic.
But it was Looney Tunes, and it was always, weirdly, it was like in between shows and at weird times. Like
wherever
constantly
there was filler,
on television.
You needed filler, they basically played that.
Yeah, that and Superman.
Yeah.
I love Superman, though.
And it was so, like, it's so weird to see it again now because they are so out of the mainstream culture.
And I think they were on their way out at this
at that
stage.
Point already,
because this was kind of a resurgence and an idea. The whole movie actually came from an ad.
Mm.
So it was the release of Jordan shoes, the Air Jordan.
Mm.
And they did like an ad with Bugs Bunny and other characters. And then they were like, oh, you know what? It was actually Michael's agent who went to them and said, like,
Of course.
Mm. We can make a movie out of this. Mm-hmm. And they were like, you know what? Yeah, let's do it.
Why not?
Just like,
needs a plot.
Another line. Yes, you are onto something.
That's a hell of a drug.
Yeah, let's do it. So, yeah, I was that's the thing that surprised me the most. It's just like how violent and kind of unfunny the Looney Tunes were.
And watching it again, there's so little plot.
No, it's
so little plot in this movie. Dude. I mean, the tension later comes where, like, once you now start with the basketball match and things, the tension comes from the fact that at some point Michael decides that they'll play for him instead. So it's like, if we lose, you get me as the attraction.
Yeah.
And if we win, everyone gets their powers back and shit.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
Yeah. What?
Okay.
Fine.
What?
Thank you.
Yes. But it's like, who cares?
I know.
You just don't care.
You don't care. It was more like you're along for this weird fucking ride, this fever dream of Michael Jordan.
That's a fever dream.
Yeah. A lot of effort went into the animation, though.
I can see.
Yeah.
You can see. I mean, if you compare that with something like Who Killed Roger Rabbit?
Yeah, that
like,
was actually first. So that was 1980 something.
89, I think.
Anna?
Mm. It was 88 or 89. And I mean, if you look at something like that versus where Looney Tunes was, I mean, Space Jam is.
Yeah.
There's massive improvements.
No, there was. I mean, but the amount of like animators. So fucking, they had like 100 animators on staff.
Jeepers.
And then the feature animation department, which focused on movies, employed an additional 200. And they were added to the team. And then 60 more new artists were hired specifically for the film. And then, well, satellite studios in several countries that were also being utilized, that added about another 400 to the tally.
Yes.
So they had like
800 people.
A fuckload of people and their collective efforts yielded almost 40,000 completed drawings. Because they were doing this old school.
Yeah.
It's fucking insane, right?
That's mind-boggling.
All for this? For this?
Yeah.
For this movie.
But I mean, you can see the pitch. Like, apart from the coke, it's just like, it's Michael Jordan.
You can't,
it's the
you
Looney
can't
Tunes.
Exclude the coke. Because
it's Michael
the coke
Jordan,
is what
it's Looney
it
Tunes.
Next level. Yeah, it's Michael Jordan, it's Looney Tunes. This is his, this is the height of Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
He comes off like a championship. He retired. If you watch the documentary, you know, his father passed away and he decided to retire. And he retired at the top. at this point.
So, but what the movie changes around, obviously, is that what we find out in the documentary subsequently is that he came back at a season, didn't win anything that season, and then came to make this movie, wasn't it? And then he had like everyone over training with him every day. Yeah,
so it was his comeback.
Yeah.
It was, this movie came out in 96.
Yeah. His comeback was 95. And then this was going into the 96 season.
Yeah.
That this move that they did this.
So famously, they built him a whole basketball dome.
To train.
To train while he was filming this movie. And in his off time, he would just invite players.
Everyone
to come and play.
The best of the best.
Yeah. And they would have like pickup games. And what they didn't realize is that they were making Michael Jordan even stronger.
Because he literally was playing against the best all the time.
He was the shit. So then the Looney Tunes with Michael Jordan, and it's chaos.
It's total chaos. It's the match, I don't even know if there's any point in trying to follow the match.
Yeah, the match didn't make sense also.
But fundamentally, it still mainly sticks to broadly the scoring system of basketball.
Yeah, yeah.
I say that in comparison.
It's very, very broad. I mean, but you know what? Let's talk about Lola Bunny.
Let's talk about Lola Bunny.
So Lola Bunny is introduced in this film. Originally, it wasn't supposed to be her. It was supposed to be a character called Honey Bunny.
Okay.
And Honey Bunny used to be in the comics.
Mm-hmm.
But she wasn't featured on television. So they were going to develop Honey Bunny for the movie. But then that sort of evolved into Lola Bunny.
Mm-hmm.
Lola Bunny enters the scene and a saxophone starts to play.
Mm-hmm. As you used to do back in the day.
And I was like, why?
Yeah, what's your target audience say, man?
And I'm like, what the fuck is this?
And there's a lot of that.
Yeah, yeah. And she's like, and the joke, Bugs Bunny gets hard.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that joke?
I don't remember.
He stiffens. His whole body stiffens he falls.
Yeah.
We know what that means.
Yeah, subtle.
And why is my question?
Like I said, who was your target audience? It's the same like Pepe Le Pew, though. And previously mentioned in news, like in another episode, about how he was removed.
Excluded from the new one.
They weren't subtle about that.
Problematic. When even her design is like, okay, she's got bosom and she's got, you know, she's got the hourglass situation going. Very, very strange.
Mm.
But she's at least she's talented.
Yeah, she can play basketball.
Yeah, she's the only fucking one that can play basketball. Because the rest of them just catch on cack.
They're just trying to kill each other.
It's violence.
That's all they're trying to do. It's bombs, it's guns, it's... I don't know how comfortable I'd be with my child watching that.
No, the original creator of the a lot of the Looney Tunes characters, I think his name is Chuck something, he fucking hated this movie.
Is it?
Yeah. I think maybe he thought, okay, the soul of Looney Tunes is gone.
Mm.
But the soul of Looney Tunes is violence.
Yeah. It's always been violent. And I mean, like, just think of Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote. You know, the shit that they do.
Roadrunner is the only one that doesn't commit any violence.
Yeah, he just... Although...
I mean, he set him up.
He'll reverse violence that is trying to be committed against him.
Yeah, he'll set it up, but he won't actually physically attack someone.
Yeah, that's just a technicality.
But
I put the trap there. I didn't make him step it up.
No, the basketball match itself is pure chaos. And this is where I'm actually glad that the movie's just an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Because I don't think I could have taken much more of this.
No, and... But I mean, it's of its time. An hour and a half was your typical movie length back then.
100%. And it's a kids movie also.
Yeah, it's a kids movie. At least it's faithful, I feel, to a degree, to its own idea.
You have to talk into the mic.
Yeah. Sorry, man. Hands.
Use one.
I don't know what to do with the hands. We need stands.
We do need stands.
It's faithful to its nature. Idea of the Looney Tunes and that character of Michael Jordan and...
Yeah, I guess you're right. But it's just a lot. I will say this though. As the movie was progressing, the songs that were playing, brah, that soundtrack is next level.
It is.
Fuck, Fly Like an Eagle.
And the rap, the intro rap
so
song.
So Hit 'Em High was one of my favorite songs ever.
Because
you got Be Real from Cypress Hill. You've got Coolio.
Mm-hmm.
of Coolio fame.
Gauteng fame GP.
You've got LL Cool J. You've got Method fucking Man. Is that all? No, there's a fifth one. Busta Rhymes. And these were all like spitters, my bro.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the beat is just gangster.
I know. Also, I did write down. I've never seen intro credits hype up producers as much as this film did.
Yeah, it's weird, huh?
You know, in that whole intro thing and the songs playing and you getting dangers and then the producers' names are like huge.
Yeah.
Flashing lights.
Also, if I was a producer, I wouldn't want my name so big with this film.
No. Although at the time it was like I put my name in there.
So the soundtrack really got like every once in a while it's just welcome to the jam. We're gonna slam and welcome to the jam. And that then, shit got me hype.
Seal coming.
Abby was looking at me like I was fucking mad. The way I was just like 90s R&B dancing.
Uh-huh.
It's a different type of dancing.
That's life, bro.
Because it's all in the room. You could see me now.
Oh, so supple, so flexible.
Yeah, with the left elbow, I told you. That badminton accident. So it made me nostalgic. And the music helped a lot.
It did.
Because the movie itself, the music and my love for Michael Jordan, because sometimes they would show the flair of him doing some dope shit.
And the tongue.
The tongue was there. I mean, I didn't like the shoes because he was wearing the 11s. It's not my favorite Jordan. Mm. I'm a ones and threes guy.
Mm. Prime numbers.
This, just because the sneakers look good, it's got nothing to do with the numbers. I'm a ones, threes, and fours guy.
Okay, so not on.
But he was wearing the 11s, which I don't like the 11s.
Yeah.
But other than that, the hype was there, and I got it. I understood it. And when I went to Kenilworth Center to watch that movie, I was in it. Check in for KC.
KC.
Looking back, I wish I was smarter to realize that this was a bad movie, because when I was a lighty, this was the fucking shit. It was basketball and cartoons brought together. There's and this was the best thing on the planet.
With amazing music.
Yeah, amazing music. I mean, R. Kelly is a piece of shit. I mean, he's a horrible person.
Yeah, fighting for his life.
But he made you believe
you could fly.
You could fly. Yeah. He's very good at writing inspirational songs.
He is.
What's another one? We always sing it sometimes. I am a lion down in the jungle. Oh, I am a lion down in the
Muhammad
jungle.
Muhammad Ali. Yeah.
What's the name of that one? Greatest. Something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And then the classic Gotham City. Oh, yeah.
Not written for any of the Chris Nolan Batman movies.
I don't think it would have.
Was that for the Val Kilmer?
There was Batman Forever.
Yeah.
No, was that Batman Forever or Batman and Robin?
I feel like it was Batman Forever. I feel like I'm maybe. Seeing, no, Val Kilmer was
Batman Forever.
Kiss from a Rose.
Yeah. And then the U2 number was also on there, on that soundtrack. But Gotham City was Batman and Robin, wasn't it?
Could be.
City of Justice. He's very good at writing that. He's a piece of shit and he should rot in jail. Don't get me wrong.
But the music.
But he can inspire you. And he inspired me with I Believe in Fly. That fucking soundtrack.
I Love My Life by Gin and Juice. Eh? That's
by Snoop Dogg.
Wasn't talking Gin and
Juice. Did you just say Jody?
Gin and Juice.
That's Snoop Doggy Dogg.
I thought R. Kelly was in there also.
This feels racist.
Why? It sounds like R. Kelly to
This me. Is Morgan Freeman and Samuel L. Jackson all over again.
That's really not, because that's Lawrence Fishburne.
God, we are horrible. No, but come. Jen and Juice, you know that's fucking Snoop Dogg.
Sorry. Bump and Grind. That's what I'm thinking.
Yes, Bump and Grind.
Yeah,
is,
that's also how I live my life.
Well, you should.
Yeah.
But in context... If you looking back, that song was also very problematic.
Which one?
Bump and Grind.
Oh, yeah.
Just because of where it was coming from.
But your
R. Kelly won like three Grammys with that song.
In R. Kelly's defense, he said that his mind's telling him no.
Yeah, but we now know why his mind was telling him no. You know?
Oh, wow.
We now know why. Because that girl is young.
She's young. Listen.
Yeah.
We have another movie to cover.
We do have another movie to cover.
Are you happy to leave Space Jam at that for now?
I guess. I mean, in terms of trivia, there's so much.
There's way too much.
There is a lot, but I will say some things. So there was also like a sequel in the works, but Michael Jordan didn't want to come back.
Yeah, I heard about that, yes.
Yeah, but they were toying with certain ideas. Do you want to hear some of those ideas?
I'd like to hear some of them.
Skate Jam.
Oh, that theoretically that Tony also happened. Yeah.
Mm. Golf Jam.
Tiger.
I don't know about Tiger. These are ideas that they were in the 90s.
There's literally no one else that they could use for Golf Jam.
Yeah, but Tiger, look at Tiger look now.
That's now. 96 Tiger. 90s Tiger is a different animal, bruh.
How long has Tiger been playing golf?
A long ass time.
And then Race Jam. Race Jam was
Martin Luther King. Nelson Mandela.
In the 90s, yes.
Nelson Mandela.
No, no, no. They were actually going to go the opposite route and use a white supremacist.
Was making jam at all.
No, Race Jam was going to be Jeff Gordon, who was a...
NASCAR driver.
Yeah, NASCAR. I was going to say, what's that race where they ride in a circle?
Circles.
Yeah, NASCAR. So those are the things. And I'm imagining just a hill of cocaine and then just like, which jam can we do? I thought that was fucking hilarious, but yeah.
Tennis Jam.
This movie was a phenomenon. It made a shit ton of money with merchandising specifically. Mm-hmm. So there was everything. Michael Jordan fucking Pez dispensers, yeah, those bags.
It was insane.
That's where they made their money, most of it.
I think we can all remember like when this film came out, just how mad everything was. Because it was like two of the biggest things in the world. It was Michael Jordan and it's the Looney Tunes.
And the thing is, the Looney Tunes make most of their money from licensing on t-shirts and pajamas and all sorts of cock. Like, nobody watches that shit, but they got a fucking Daffy Duck 90.
Everyone knows who Bugs is. Everyone knows who Daffy Duck is, who Tweety is, who Sylvester is, Porky Pig.
That's Space Jam, man. It was fucking crazy.
It was a crazy time.
But I loved it as a child, and rewatching it, I do not love it
as much.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Love that soundtrack, though.
Love it.
So let's move on to the New Legacy.
Let's get to that New Legacy. Starring LeBron James, Don Cheadle, and Sonequa Martin-Green. You can't really name all the other live-action people.
Zendaya is a voice for
She's
Lola Bunny.
Bunny's, yeah. Directed by Malcolm D. Lee, cousin of Spike Lee.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I told you all of Hollywood connected, bro.
It's Spike Lee's cousin. Superstar LeBron James and his young son, Dom, get trapped in digital space by a rogue AI. To get home safely, LeBron teams up with Bugs, Daffy, and the rest of the Looney Tunes gang for a high-stakes basketball game against the AI's digitized champions of the court. A powered-up roster called the Goon Squad.
Goon Squad. Wow. You should do ads. LeBron James. That's actually French.
LeBron.
Yeah, it means LeBron James. little fun fact.
Single apostrophe.
Yeah, little fun fact for you. I did not know what to expect.
Yeah, I think that you and I.
We spoke about this before.
LeBron is
was this
not
to
a
each other
actor.
On an episode? We spoke about the trailer.
Yeah, we spoke about the trailer on the episode. LeBron is not a bad actor. He's got some comedic timing.
This is what I can't understand, though. Because I've seen him being... He was very good in Trainwreck. And then it was like, where did that talent go?
Yeah, they were kind of... They didn't know where to push.
Don't get me wrong. He's better than Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
But I think he has to really work with a certain director or something.
To get the best out of
him. He was very wooden in this one.
Yeah, I think it's also because they actually tried to... I'll give them credit for this. They actually tried to create a cohesive story this time around.
Oh, yeah, they tried.
You know, there's a story that they are trying to tell from beginning to end with LeBron and his whole upbringing. There's no time for fun.
Yeah.
You've got to practice all the time.
Always. Never,
you know, basketball
never stopping.
Yeah. Basketball is...
Yeah. In this, between these lines, it's all work.
It's work all the time.
Yeah.
And him then becoming a father who does the same thing to his kids.
Yeah.
And
that's the main story.
You know, it's that's like the thrust of the story this
the
time.
Thrust.
there's some thrust in a direction as opposed to... The swinging hips that we had the previous
Hey.
That 90s hips, man. So there is a story. Mm-hmm. We also have a very bonkers man, Don Cheadle, as the villain.
Listen,
LG Rhythm.
Before we even get into the old fucking whatever, he stole the show from me.
LG Rhythm.
LG Rhythm stole the show.
Yo, Don Cheadle. Don Cheadle is a treasure.
Don Cheadle was the only one who knew what movie he was in.
Yes. And embraced
it. He embraced it fully.
He made
us laugh.
Yeah. Numerous times.
Yeah.
Numerous times. Don Cheadle had nothing to work off of.
No. He was so good.
And as much as people say you can't compare these films, I get why people say
that. I think you can.
I think you can because they've also essentially followed the same formula to a degree.
Yeah, they have.
So you start off with Kid LeBron, much like you start off with Kid Michael. Mm. We get the same intro of the, like, what they've achieved and what they've done.
Well, Michael has achieved more than LeBron.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to get into the debate into who's better, but Michael Jordan is better.
Unlike Don Cheadle, who keeps Yo, the self-aware jokes that he makes in those things. So there's similarities there, and then there's the, like, then you get the start of the movie and its plot and how the Looney Tunes get involved.
Mm.
So I feel like this time there's almost like a more cohesive reason for why the Looney Tunes get involved.
Yeah.
In comparison with
the previous fever dream that was before. I get that. I agree with you on that.
You know, it makes logical sense.
Okay. Still not in space, though.
Yeah, still not in space.
They tried to make it like it's in cyberspace.
Yeah, the, what they call it, the whatverse?
The serververse.
Serververse, yeah.
Yeah, so that we introduced to the Warner Brothers serververse. So it's LG Rhythm. He is a self-aware AI that wants to come out of the shadows and sort of make himself a star, and he wants to link to LeBron James
scan because of his social media profile,
and you know he's more than an athlete or whatever, scan him into the thing and put him into a whole lot of media, and then the two of them become bigger than ever. LeBron says no. This upsets LG Rhythm.
But also there's two actors, one actor, one actress, who are just, they are actual people but are so useless. Sarah Silverman and Steven Yeun.
Sarah Silverman, that's one thing I get. But why the fuck was Steven Yeun?
Why did he agree to that? I have no idea. I don't even know if he got paid because
we watched Minari, right?
Yes.
Why were you there?
Incredible. Minari is one of the best movies to have come out last year.
Why that was he in that?
I don't think he had a speaking line.
I think these were favors, man.
Yo, but dude, it's like, no, man.
I think they were favors.
There's better things you can do with your life. They are there, and they are acting as studio executives who get the pitch for their movies from LG Rhythm, this AI that they've created.
Yeah, he's just been pitching all their shit.
And then, I don't know if this is like a purposeful link, but when Sarah Silverman gets the idea from LG Rhythm, the one movie in poster behind is Joker. Like, that would explain a lot.
Yeah.
if that movie idea came from AI. Did you ever read that script?
The Joker script?
No. There's a script that was actually written by AI.
Yes, it's Balderdash.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But they've tried to do that before. There was AI also tried to write novels and shit.
Yeah,
just based
beautiful.
On
based on the interpretation of
that's crazy. Because I mean, it's like, oh, is this where we headed? No, not based on that. This is not where we headed. We still have, we still have use for screenwriters. But yeah, so he gets upset, and then he takes fucking LeBron into the serververse, and then LeBron and his son,
Dom, the youngest son,
actually kidnaps the son. The son doesn't realize it yet, but the son doesn't want to play basketball.
No, the son is a budding game designer.
Dom Ball.
Yeah. Keep waiting for him to say family.
I know. I was waiting for Vin Diesel to stick it just in the fucking...
That's the logical crossover.
Yeah. When writers don't understand a certain subculture or thing or whatever, and then they write it, you can tell 100%.
Yes.
And this is one of they don't know, understand game development, and they don't understand video games.
Yes.
But they wrote about it.
Yeah.
Because that's NBA Jam. Do you remember that game?
Yes.
And then also, you wouldn't call the fucking game Dom Ball.
No.
I mean, it's Dom Ball, but
you wouldn't name it after yourself.
No.
No one does that.
No one does
that. No one. And the entire point of the game is that it's kind of a counterpoint to LeBron James, who views basketball as all about the fundamentals and not like being showy and stuff. And the game is all about being showy and getting style points.
Style points, power ups, all this shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, weird.
So I understand what they are going for. Mm. It's just not executed very well.
Look, I'm going to say now, we're going into spoilers now. Mm. Because there's things that I want to touch on that happens in the
movie. Yeah, and this is a new film, but we are going to do
spoilers. We're going to do spoilers, but just watch it first and then come back.
Yeah. And then you can listen to the rest.
Yeah. Or listen to us while you watch it.
Yeah. You can do that. You won't forget.
Oh, did you see that joke?
Yeah.
This is meta now.
How far in are we? Like 1 hour 15.
Yeah. Well, this movie's 2 hours long.
It's 2 hours.
Why the fuck is it 2 hours?
Pet peeve of Jody's.
Yes.
Everyone's got to make it to 2 hours for some reason.
Doesn't need to be 2 hours.
Not at all.
So then he takes him to, he says that you'll only get your son back if we play basketball and you get like the rejects of the year. So that's kind of like speaks to where the Looney Tunes are.
They are the rejects, yeah.
They are the rejects. Nobody gives a shit about them.
Yeah.
And he sends them to Looney Tunes land to pick his team because they've got better properties.
Exactly.
Which we see, all of them. No, everything, all the time.
We don't see. It is forced down our throat.
Yeah.
It's prostated up our behinds.
Yeah,
it is
prostated. Yeah, it was aggressive and it wasn't consensual.
No. Like, I think you and I have differing viewpoints on Ready Player One. I really enjoy that movie.
I did not enjoy it.
I enjoy it. And the use of other popular culture stuff, to me, in that movie makes sense because it's based on a book where that's like kind of the point of the book.
Yeah. Is that, but still, popular culture was still too much for me.
It's a lot. Mm. But for me, at least, there's logic to it, and I understand where it's coming from there. In this movie, it's literally
it's like cranked up to 11. Like,
how much Warner Brothers stuff do we have?
Yeah, let's put everything. Just like everything. So the serververse is made up of all the Warner Brothers properties, and it's almost like a galaxy. It's laid out like a galaxy. There's planets. There's Harry Potter, Matrix, all the shit. Mm-hmm. They visit every one of them because the Looney Tunes don't live on Looney Tune land. They all left Pugs alone.
Yeah, Pugs is the only one there.
Yeah.
The algae rhythm came to get the others and tell them that they're useless and just took them to others.
Do you want to be better? Then come with me and I'll take you to other shit.
Yeah.
So he took them to all the other universes so they have now an excuse plot-wise to show and visit all these places.
I will say that it's a pretty funny scene where LeBron is like putting his dream team together.
And his first one's Superman.
And he's like, could have used him at the Cavs.
Yeah. And a lot of it is digs at like criticisms of LeBron throughout his career.
So, and the Miami one is like, you can't do that. Yeah,
is
Miami.
Is Dwayne Wade, who's Batman, who's Robin? That's one of the things.
But remember, the line is something like, he wants Iron Giant, King Kong, and someone else, and they tell him, this isn't Miami. Because that was where he had his like the dream team of everybody.
There's points in the movie where they even, it's just straight up footage from the other movies.
Yeah.
And they just plop the characters in there.
Yes.
Mad Max.
Yeah.
And The Matrix.
Yeah. They just literally put the Looney Tunes in that thing doing Looney Tunes shit in those, from those clips, on those clips.
But then I started to think, who is this for?
I don't know.
Because Mad Max wasn't for kids.
No. Matrix isn't for kids either.
Exactly. There's like references in the movie that is not for children. Mm-hmm. Or they're referring to movies that wasn't made for children. So like, why? I know like Pixar, you know, they make, tell these stories and it can appeal to adults and stuff. But appealing to adults
is different to directed at.
They're just full on.
Yeah.
So that was confusing.
And the biggest issue is that it just doesn't make sense. Mm. There's literally no point to it. So
it was.
I get it's part of your thing, but again, in comparison to Ready Player One, which is essential to the plot because that's how it works in that world, there's no purpose to it.
No purpose.
Other than Warner Brothers just wanted
look at
to
what
show.
We've got. Yeah.
Exactly. Do you remember the big boy that was made about Clockwork Orange?
Yeah.
About their characters, the Droogs being India. Yeah.
The nun was there.
Literally all that they are doing, it was there as well.
Yeah.
All they are doing is jumping around as background.
Mm.
In as the audience.
Iron Giant, King Kong, the Nun.
Why?
That is fucking, who knows, man.
But, like, it's, they were literally just trying to show us, this is all the stuff we have.
Yeah. I've been looking at reviews for this film.
That's not great.
It's like, the one was like, I've never seen anything like this. And I hope to never see anything like it again.
Listen here. We haven't even made reference to Clippy.
Who's Clippy?
LG Rhythms. Microsoft 95 Clippy.
Yeah, they could have put Clippy in there. Yes, yes. You know Clippy's coming back, I think.
That's basically Clippy, though. Mm. That's what that thing is.
Yeah, so LG Rhythm abuses this thing and it does like everything. That doesn't matter. None of it matters. I will say that they chose some cool basketball players to bring in. So it's not like the Monstars one where they steal the talent from the basketball players. So this kid
with Dombo,
this child, okay, he is LeBron James's child. So obviously he has access to things that normal kids wouldn't. But this child has motion capture software.
With a camera on his phone.
Bleeding edge.
Yeah.
Fucking motion capture software that just captures the movement of anybody and like just bloop into his game.
Yeah.
And because he has access to these basketball players because of his father, he's got like Damian Lillard. Mm-hmm. He's got that eyebrow guy.
Yeah.
Anthony Davis. Who
they make fun of.
Yeah, they make fun of. That was a thing when he was coming up. He still... I mean, you got the money. Just anyway.
Just a slip.
Yeah, but okay, it's part of his brand. He's owning it. I get it. Damian Lillard, Anthony Davis. I don't know the WNBA players.
At least they included him last time.
Which was cool. Mm. And then Klay Thompson went from the Golden State. So these are guys at the top now, and he puts their likenesses into the game so they don't have to steal talent. Mm. And they just sort of develop them, and they become the goon squad.
Yeah, just powers them up.
Yeah,
crazy.
That's what they call it, powers them up.
Yeah, he just powers them up like crazy. So, what's his name? Eyebrow guy's got, like, feathers and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And the other guy is, like, or the one lady is a snake body.
Yeah. And the one is a spider.
And the one can stop time. Klay Thompson, I think, is one.
No, Dame Time.
Yeah, he can.
Damian Lillard.
Yes, he can stop time.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
It was different.
It was a better use, I think, than the Monstars. The one, I found this incredibly random. But the times where Don Cheadle talks about how everything gives them access to you, like the cameras in your house.
Yeah.
Because he mentions to Dom about like, I've been tracking you through the dryer, the
everything,
this, and like just a casual allusion to privacy invasion. Yeah. And when he steals that tech, also he's like, he tells his minion like, just copy all that stuff off, but give him back his phone, because we won't use his data for anything. And then like winks at the camera.
Yeah,
it's like, why are you just slipping this stuff in here?
Well, I mean,
they're trying to make a statement about
that's what they
that's
do.
A
though.
Major issue, but it's like.
That's what they do. What do you think of the conversion from the 2D to the 3D?
Yeah, I wasn't a fan.
You didn't like the 3D?
Not so much, eh? Jen was watching this with me, and we both felt like it was so nostalgic to see the 2D tunes again. Yeah. And then with the switch to 3D, it looked okay, but like I just love them in 2D. That's like the tunes that I remember. And I think there was a bit of an uproar when the first trailer came out and they showed them in 3D only.
Yeah.
And people were like, what the hell? Why are they doing this in 3D? Why aren't they like normal?
So... I guess the technology is they could have added digitally 2D. But okay, the power-ups, I guess it's CG and shit. And they needed to have LeBron in live action. Mm. So that's one of the reasons they could have done that. But let's talk about Lola Bunny.
We've got to. The scandal.
I don't understand how this is a scandal, my bro. But Lola Bunny was redesigned. Mm-hmm. To be less sexual.
She was desexualized with this movie.
Because this is a kid's movie.
Exactly.
Something that they didn't realize in 1996.
No. Well, they didn't care about it.
Well,
you know.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Now bigger. Where's the saxophone? So in this movie, she's desexualized and she looks like a Looney Tune. Yeah. Supposed to look.
Yeah. And she's just a female toon. That's it.
People were not happy about
that. They were very upset. That's not the Lola we remember.
Yeah. This is not the Lola I masturbated to.
Not my Lola. Yeah, this actually got to the point where Zendaya came out and actually had to make a statement and say she understands that there are people who... She was really diplomatic about it, which I was like, you know what? She should actually just say fuck them. But she came out very diplomatically and said she understands people... liked how Lola was designed and there were people who were fans of that, but they didn't realize this would be such an issue with the redesign.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't. though.
Because it's an animated character.
You wouldn't think this would be such an...
It's an animated...
Goodness gracious.
Rabbit.
It's not the... What's the character from Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Roger Rabbit's wife?
You're talking of sexualized cartoons.
But but that was a different story because she was an adult, first of all.
Yes.
And she was supposed to be that. That was the purpose of that character.
Yeah, the red dress and all that jazz.
It's not that character. We're talking about a fucking rabbit. No, I don't. The world is weird, Jody.
Who are the ones who are complaining about that?
I don't know. Anyone who's listening, if you were the one who was complaining, like, write to us.
This is a safe space.
It'll be anonymous. Write to us and tell us your reasoning as to why you were upset that they changed Lola Bunny, if you were upset.
And we'll be sure to cuck you out of the next episode.
No, we won't. Jody, we won't. We won't. Let's not kink shame. We just want to understand the psyche.
We spoke about furries before.
We have spoken about furries.
That's like a furry.
I think it's tied to that, but also like nostalgia and sort of people coming of age. Yeah, and seeing that, you know, that had type of feelings.
Oh wow!
It's natural, I guess. God, weird.
Do you feel like we had a point where we can compare the two?
I don't know because the point system.
The match.
Yeah, the match itself.
Yo, that match was, I think...
Which match do you think is more tarty?
Okay, I think we've done enough of the second movie. I've got questions.
Oh, wait.
Because we prepared now on shit, man.
Are we though?
Yeah, we're a structured show. Which animation did you prefer?
So, I like the 2D Space Jam 2 animation.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, like, the quality was so much better. Mm. When I was watching Space Jam 1, there was a lot of, like, perspective issues and stuff. But I understand it's the time.
It's all of its time.
Yeah. But they put so much effort into it. So it was amazing for what it was. But I would say the 2D animation in the beginning of Space Jam 2.
Mm.
Space Jam Legacy.
So if we're going Space Jam versus Space Jam Legacy, a new legacy, you're going Space Jam, a new legacy.
Yeah, just based on the advancement in technology.
Yeah, I'd say the same. Okay. I had a lot of nostalgia seeing Space Jam, like just going back into it for the nostalgia. Yeah. But, I mean, the technology used for Space Jam for a new legacy is incredible.
Yeah,
so,
it was amazing.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. Who is the better actor? Michael Jordan or LeBron James?
LeBron James. I would say LeBron James.
Definitely.
But Michael gave it a good shot.
He gave it a Michael Jordan baseball shot, not a Michael Jordan basketball shot.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good way of putting it.
Mm. Who's a better villain? Danny DeVito or Don Cheadle?
Don Cheadle.
Every day.
100%. 100%.
Which movie had a better plot?
Do you know, it irks me to say it, but Space Jam 2 didn't have a better plot, but it was overly convoluted and long.
I think that just that central theme that I mentioned earlier.
Yeah, with the father and son.
The father and son and how that relationship impacts on the choices and all that shit. That was a more logical and sensible plot than, as we've said repeatedly, the hot fever dream that was the plot for the first Space Jam. So I'm with you on that. As hard as it is to say.
Yeah, I think we agree.
This one is obvious. Better music.
Yo, Space Jam 1.
Space Jam 1. Insane.
No, I listened to the new soundtrack. I gave it a shot. I don't like all the songs, but there's just not...
There's no standard.
The problem is also that era of music being so big and connected to a movie is over.
Yeah.
So we won't get that again. But I'd say it's up to nostalgia. There's just too many bangers.
I think Space Jam, the originals, that soundtrack is amazing. Those songs on their own are massive songs.
100%.
Outside of the movie, they are massive songs. Yeah. And within the movie.
Yeah, that soundtrack, it beats the shit out of the other one.
So that's
a... But that could also be our age. I mean, if you are someone younger than us, a Gen Zer, they might have a different view.
Yeah, maybe, but they'd be wrong. Which movie had the better basketball?
Oh, goodness.
That's tough.
Space Jam 2, there was less shenanigans.
Yeah.
I mean, even though the game itself was a skewed version of it, or with the power-ups and the style points, they were playing fundamentally. They were trying to do things. it was less cack.
No, I call shenanigans. For me, Space Jam 1, at least
better basketball.
At least the basketball made sense to me. It was 2 points or 3 points. There's no thousand point stuff.
If you bring the point system into it, it's more video game rules. I get it.
Yeah, there
was bouncing of the ball, there was shooting of the ball, and there was dunking of the. There was more of those things in the new movie than there was in the old movie.
There's lots of Michael Tang, and I mean, apart from Stretchy and Michael, what else does he do? That's like.
He shoots and he dunks and stuff.
Yeah, but I'm saying that was power uppy for Michael in the first one. I feel like there was more, it was less shenanigan basketball in the first one. As much as the Looney Tunes are tatty, the basketball itself was kind of made sense to me.
LeBron was all about fundamentals, especially in that first two quarters.
Yeah, and then in the third quarter, he just embraced the.
I know, but that's two whole quarters of fundamentals versus from the start. Balderdash.
Yeah. Nah, I'm on Space Jam 1.
I think we disagree. I think I'm going to go New Legacy.
Fundamentals of New Legacy. Most important question of all. Who is the better player?
Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan's the better player. Final Statistically, answer. I will show you.
No, I agree with you. Michael is still my favorite. We've had LeBron come. We've had Kobe come. There are more people.
Where's your rings, LeBron?
He's done well at different teams, though.
Michael knew. Man, we can get into this, but there's like two eras. Mm. Michael Jordan era and LeBron James era. Mm. And it depends on when you were born. Mm. But statistically, if you break it down to the numbers, Michael Jordan is a better player. He has a better record.
You know what? What I think would have made it interesting, like if you were to try and make it an apples versus apples conversation, look at how big Michael Jordan was at his time.
Mm.
That is sound social media.
Yeah.
That is literally just Michael Jordan crossing over with everything.
But
through
I think
his
if there was social media, he wouldn't be able to keep his gambling under wraps.
Yes, he would have. There was a lot of things that would have come up, yes. But I'm just saying,
he's a megastar.
Let's say without the gambling issues now. Just Michael Jordan, the way that he was able to transcend through his success in sport at that time versus like LeBron now, who has the advantage of social media as he's been coming up. I would say Michael Jordan, I rate him as a better basketball player, but also the more successful out of the two. So, taking all of this into account.
No, there's one more question.
You've got a question.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Which movie has the best cameo?
I'd have to go for... it's actually close, eh?
It's not close, Jody. There's one clear winner.
But Bill Murray in Space Jam was brilliant. But the Michael B. Jordan
Jordan. I didn't
incredible.
See it coming.
I didn't. Do you know what's weird? Can I tell you this?
Yeah.
As I'm doing the prep for the episode and I'm looking at who the cast is, Michael B. Jordan's face is there. But I didn't read the thing related to him. And I'm like...
So you didn't register?
I don't know why he's popping up on the search, but I'm busy getting the episode ready. And then we're watching the movie last night. And he comes out the like, this is why.
It's
genius.
It is the best.
And he just goes into Friday Night Lights mode.
I know. He's like eating popcorn. And he still comes out and I'm looking at the shoes first. Mm. Obviously. Mm-hmm. I like shoes. Not in a weird way.
Mm, not just, in like a Lola Bunny way.
No, not in Lola Bunny. In like I like shoes. Mm. So I'm looking at it and I'm watching and they're slowly revealing this person's silhouette and I'm like, I still told Abby, he's got the fear of God's on. That's not even a Jordan. And then he comes out and it's Michael Basketball Jordan. I was like, this is the absolute best. They beat any cameo that Space Jam won.
Was it Sylvester or David Duck who fetched him and he's like, I thought he aged well for 25 years. He aged gracefully.
Because even LeBron, that's what I liked also. LeBron was excited by the aspect of it. Yeah. I like the way they framed it and I like the way they executed it. It was very fucking well done. That is the best cameo ever.
Yeah. Who wins the Triple B? Who wins the Basketball Biscope battle.
Okay.
We've got it something like like 4-1 or like 4-2
based on the questions. Yes, but logic has never been.
Yeah, we don't care about the numbers.
We don't care about the numbers. So even though
fuck the structure,
Space Jam: A New Legacy has a better story, better acting, better cameo, a better animation, I think Space Jam 1996 takes it for me. Just nostalgia is a strong thing, and that soundtrack is second to none. And the audacity of the
Warner
what
Brothers.
Would you even call that? Warner Brothers, well, they're a fucking amalgamation branding fucking universe bullshit. That just upset me way more than the product placement.
That is
in
the
Space
biggest
Jam.
That's the biggest issue for me.
Yeah.
Is that Warner Brothers turned this into a let's show off what we have more than showcasing this as a vehicle for LeBron to
James.
Make a
and for
follow
what?
Up to
for
Space
what?
Jam.
To what end?
I don't know.
That's what I don't understand who they're talking to, because fans of the Matrix are fans of the Matrix. Yeah. We have a new Matrix coming out. You don't have to remind fans of the Matrix about the Matrix.
That it's there.
You don't have to remind fans of Harry Potter about Harry Potter. Yeah. All these things are super fucking successful. Yeah. They have their built-in audience already.
Exactly.
Why do they need to be in this film?
And no one is going to... Like, I'm not going to watch this and then be like, you know what? That scene from Mad Max is so quiet. I'm going to go watch that movie now.
Yeah.
No one is saying
no
that.
No one's saying that.
So that is the biggest factor for me. That was so grating and so irritating for me that I've got to give it to Space Jam. Just because that movie, as simple as it is, it stayed true to itself and
look, there's a lot of
was just
product placement and bullshit
thing.
In that movie as well.
That's so
it's madness, it's tarty, but it was you're right. It's not as irritating and in your face and grating as this one.
Yeah, this was just Warner Brothers they shut the bed on this one.
Who signed this off?
The Warner Brothers execs.
Yakko, Wacko and Dot signed it.
Steven Spielberg. You gotta give this battle to Space Jam.
Okay, it's settled. For now in history, Space Jam 1996 won the battle.
It's retained its legacy. It doesn't need a new one.
Yeah, it doesn't need a new legacy. The one thing that connects both these movies is that this one also seems like cocaine was involved.
Yeah.
So at least there's that.
There's that. That's consistent. Just when you think it's out of the game. You get another fever dream of a movie.
Wow. So anyway, do you have any shout-outs or shit?
No, but I do want to tell the furries where they can find us.
Yeah,
you know, for those who want to tell us about why Lola needed to retain.
Remember, we won't judge you. We won't judge you. We won't judge you on the podcast.
Yeah.
But Jody and I will probably text each other. Or we will... fucking phone each other and be like, you know, but it's fine, it's safe, it's
write
it's
to us anyway,
into end encryption.
We've got a valid viewpoint.
Yeah.
Write to us at bicyclebrasa@gmail.com. alternatively, if you really want to put your business out there, put your defense on Instagram.
Yeah,
Bicycle Brasa podcast on Instagram.
Defend your sexualization of Lola Bunny.
Lola hashtag Lola needs curves.
Yeah.
Not my Lola.
Was that the actual hashtag?
I don't know. I'm assuming that's how hashtags
work. We should check out the hashtag.
Not my Lola.
Not my Lola. Anyway, stay safe, Jolie.
Safe, Raz.